let's stay right here. Can we? I want to go back into this, Ken, in just a moment. Karen has a word for us, and I think it is very timely with the way worship has been going so far. And so, Karen, would you share that with us?
The Spirit of the Lord would say to you, oh, my people, will you let me love you? Will you let me go down in the depths of your heart and heal those wounds that you have? I'm waiting with my arms open wide. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to run to me. Don't be afraid to lay down that hurt. I just feel like the Lord is saying he wants people that are wounded in here, down in the depths of their hearts and broken. There are things that are in us that we don't even know. We don't know why we react the way we react. Maybe way back. But I know he's been working on me, healing me. And all we need to do is open our hearts. Father, we just thank you. I thank you, Lord, for your love and your purpose in our lives. I pray for your people, Lord. Every person, any person, even if it's one in here, God, that doesn't know you, that you reveal yourself to you through Jesus. Reveal yourself to them through Jesus. And we just want to give you the glory and the honor and the praise for it.
I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me.
Sing it.
Jesus, you're all this heart is living for.
Sing it again. I'm falling on my knees.
I'm falling on my knees. Offering all of me. Jesus, you're all. Is living for.
Did you sing the verse on that, Ken?
Hungry I come to you, for I know you satisfy. I am empty, but I know your love does not run dry.
So I wait for you.
I'm calling on my knees. Jesus, you're all this heart is living for. I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, you're all this heart is living for.
Yeah, I want to add my kudos to you, Ken, and to Sandy. Where's Sandy? See Sandy, she's back there somewhere, over there, yeah. And Donna Kasperi, you need to be involved in that too. I just want to say that over you. Yeah, maybe a monthly kind of a thing. Let's talk about that this week, okay? That was Ken's wife, Lisa, that was applauding. God is in control. Or as Pamela Hart, who is in our small group, as she usually begins her prayers whenever we gather to pray in our small group, she usually begins by saying, "Father God, you got this." And that's my morning coffee cup that reminds me, I got this. That's what God says. Amidst so much uncertainty, and we have a fair amount of it in our world, you have a fair amount of uncertainty in your own life. Amidst so much uncertainty, we need to nail this certain truth down. God is in control. God is in control. It's not up for a vote. He is in control. And how appropriate the word this morning, so surrender. So surrender. Look, folks, it's not the surrender of somebody who puts their arms up and says, "I give up," because someone's got a gun at your back. It's a surrender as a child does. What does a child mean whenever a child does this? Hold me. Pick me up. Yeah. I was just thinking those first disciples. You know, we're doing a series from the book of Acts. I've highlighted 9 different what I'm calling summary statements throughout the book of Acts, and I've asked our men who are very fine preachers. This house is just eat up with good preachers. I just want you to know that I am, and one of them is that guy right there, and we have God has just really blessed this house with some wonderful, amazing preachers, and what a privilege to get to serve along with them. But we are looking at the acts of the Holy Spirit, not the acts of the apostles. I know that most translations would render the title of the that 28 chapter book as Acts of the Apostles. But without the Holy Spirit, the apostles, they got nothing. And you know what?
Neither do we.
That's exactly right. So we will be spending the next few weeks in the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the months of August and September, and I certainly want to encourage you to, you know, don't miss. Of course, I'm preaching to the choir now, but those that you know that are not here right now, call them and say, "Hey, you know what? I think this is going to be a significant time in the life of our church." And so join me in attending, and not just attending, but participating, and let's go for it. Let's really go for this thing, and ask the Holy Spirit to come and to do what only He can do. Those first disciples, when you read through the Acts of the Holy Spirit, certainly in chapters 3 and 4, where we will find ourselves this morning, those first disciples, they needed to know desperately this certain truth that God is in control. For when you read, and you don't have to flip to this necessarily, but in John 16 and verse 7, they had just gotten the news that Jesus was going away. Not real comforting. And he follows that up by telling them that I'm not going to be here much longer either. But in John 14, actually, in verses 16 and 17, he simply just says this, "I'll be with you." Oh, but not just with you. I'm going to be in you. So that wherever I am, you can be there. Isn't that an amazing thing if you think about it, really? That right now, all around this world, there are meetings going on like this, where those who have surrendered to Him, who know Him intimately, are right now doing the very same thing that we're doing. And they're saying, oh, come Holy Spirit, do in us what we could never do for ourselves. Please, God, come Holy Spirit. And then we read His word and He says, okay. That's basically what the word says. Okay. You ask. And so, I mean, come on. As a father, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will He give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Why don't you ask? Ask. And just entrust Him. Surrender. Don't ask with your own, you know, like you, like my wife when she, you know, she'll go to the grocery store and she'll have a list made up. And she's always changing where she puts that list. I can never find it. And I'll say, well, where's the such and such? Well, was it on the list? Where's the list? Yeah. She texted it to me. Yeah, that could be the issue right there. Well, you know, here's the list, God. I'm surrendering. Here's my list. And God says, okay, I'll give you myself. And I'm going to put myself in you. So that wherever I am, you can be there too. And wherever you are, that's where I am. Whatever situation you find yourself in, I'm right there. Because I'm in you. So let me go. Turn me loose. Just see what He might do. See, you don't know what the doctor just told us. Am I in you? Yes. Then I'm in control. That doctor doesn't have control over me. God's in control. I need to take another sip. And they so desperately needed to hear that because, well, then Jesus said later on, these things I've spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world, you're going to have some tribulation. Ah, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Translation, God is in control. Do you know this for certain? That God is in control. I think I'll take another sip. Our small group is deciding to read through, not study, read through. This is the book we study. Are you with me? Yeah. This is the book we study, not these books. These books we read. And but we're reading through Jim Cymbala's book, Fresh Power. And just to kind of begin to whet our appetites at our small group meeting this last week, I said, well, you know, while you're still ordering the book, would any of you just like to share some of your experiences of the Holy Spirit? And so it was, you know, it was kind of quiet and everything like that. And then all of a sudden, this one over here began to share their experience. And then the one next to me began to share his experience with lips trembling. And then this one began to share their experience. One of the experiences that was shared by one of our members was she was having very delicate cervical vertebrae surgery, and she had become paralyzed in some of her extremities, and so it was absolutely vital that she have this surgery. And while she was in the midst of surgery, she woke up. Really, I kind of had a thought that I was waking up. Did those lights just flicker, or did I have a retinal tear? You know, there might be some, you know, in all seriousness, there might be something else going on here today. I don't want to be silly about that, but And she woke up halfway through her surgery. And she really did. And she knew what they were doing. Had her went here, and I won't get real graphic with that, but she woke up, and she was fearful. She got very fearful, as any of us would. She couldn't speak to tell him, "Hey, I'm awake. You might want to put some more juice in me." She couldn't speak, none of those things. And then suddenly, she said, laying next to her was Jesus. And she said, "I was okay." I'll take another drink. Because she understood that God was in control. And she didn't have any worries. Kind of reunited with an old acquaintance here this morning. It reminded me of a China trip that I took. It was the very first China trip, Bob, that I took. And I was invited to go into a house church, a gathering of house church leaders. And I won't tell you the whole thing about all of that, but I just remember when I got there, there was a room, maybe a fourth this size, maybe from about those doors to the back. It may not have been quite that big either. There were 250 house church leaders. The youngest was a little 9-year-old boy that was sitting in a window over here, an open window. He had a little 3-piece suit on. Never will forget this. Every window was filled with people, but this little 9-year-old boy, he was a house church leader. And then back over here, there was an old lady that was in her 90s, they told me. And she was a house church leader. All of these were, it was a gathering of house church leaders. And I remember getting there, and they had never seen a Westerner before. Kind of from that was like this, kind of this nickname, the Western Shepherd. And I remember as I walked through the midst, they would grab my arm and my skin, and they would feel my skin. And they would put it up to themselves, and they would, you know, they would smell my skin, and they would put it on there. They had never seen, you know, somebody from the West. And I sure hope you guys don't get what I got, by the way. Come, Holy Spirit! But you're glad I didn't come back and see anything to you. And I remember I was just so undone because all the preparation that I thought that I had made, you know, and study and all of that. I was really ready to preach. I had nothing. I had nothing. Even just the... I just had nothing. And all that I could think of was, "Jesus loves me, this I know." Amen. That's all I could think of. And so for the next 9 hours, you know, I spoke and we prayed, and then I spoke. There were breaks, okay. Some of the guests are saying, "Oh my gosh, why did we come to that church today? 9-hour sermon? You're kidding me." No, for the rest of the day, and I had spoken and I had prayed over people till I was hoarse. And then when I got back home, I was a part of an Alpha ministry that was pretty much just for Chinese students. And they had encouraged me, "Oh, you got to go to our country," and everything like that. And so I did and came back, and I told them, and I had pictures. They wanted to see pictures. And so I showed them pictures. And around the doorpost was Chinese writing around the door that I had stepped under to get into this room. And one of the Chinese people, these students are around, and Yesu Haini. Jesus loves me. That's what was written on the doorpost. The message of today is simply this. God is in control. I think I'll take another drink. He's got this. Whatever you're going through today, God's got this. And from that experience and reading God's precious word, especially the text this morning, which we're in Acts chapter 4, and I just, we'll be in 3 and 4, but primarily in chapter 4 and verses 23 through the end of chapter 4. I want you to understand that Peter and John certainly knew that God is in control with the record of chapters 3 and 4 of healing and being arrested and then being verbally tarred and feathered by the religious fat cats of that day and the like. And then with their subsequent release, it says in chapter 4 and verse 23 in the first part of verse 24, when they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord, and this is what they said. And what is recorded next in the next few verses is this amazing prayer meeting. This amazing prayer meeting. And from this, I have come to grips with a couple of really just what I'm calling unmistakable certainties. The first of which is the certainty of conviction. There was great conviction that had come upon these, at least Peter and John, as it says here, and upon the whole group that was a part of the prayer meeting. They were convinced that God was in control. Verse 24 says this, O Lord, this is how they begin their prayer. Some of your translations may say, O sovereign Lord. Some of your translations say that. Sovereign. To say that God is sovereign is simply this. He's in control. God is in control. If he was in control then, and he's always been in control, he's in control today. He'll be forever in control. And one day we will know it fully. But yet right now we can pray, oh God, all the things that are finished and fixed in heaven, we can actually pray. Jesus taught us to pray that way. Let what is in heaven come down here on earth. Come thy kingdom, be done thy will on earth as it has already come. That's the verb tense there in Greek. It has already happened in heaven. There's a fixed order in heaven that Jesus says we can actually know right now here on earth. I believe that's what that prayer means. And you see, we have to be careful not to pray the other way. We have to understand where the power comes from. It doesn't come from the right words that we use. It doesn't come from if we just stomp our foot really loud. It doesn't come from, well, if we can just get enough people praying, prayer chain. If you're on a prayer chain, it's okay. I'm not. He's against prayer chains. What? What is that? But it doesn't come that way. You know, if we can just do enough things, we're going to force his hand. And he's going to do what we ask him to do. That's not the direction it comes from. It comes from heaven. Because these things have already been settled in heaven, settle them here. Oh, I just ask you, is there any sickness in heaven? Are there any tears in heaven?
No.
Any coughing in heaven? Any clearing? Well, there might be clearing of throat in heaven. I don't know. Is there any sadness in heaven?
No.
So Jesus says, ask and pray. Let your kingdom come and your will be done. Any confusion in heaven about, you know, what do I do this or do I do that? No, your perfect will, let it come and be done on earth as it has already come been done in heaven. O Lord, it is you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of our father David said. And then what follows is some pretty cool stuff. The translation really of this whole prayer is just simply this: God, you've got this. You're in control. And, you know, even when you go back and you look at what Dr. Luke said, pardon me, and what he said and how, you know, they've healed this guy. You know, he'd been there since birth. Later on, it says 40 years he's been lame. And he's asking for money. And Peter and John are going to the temple to pray at a regular time of prayers. Pardon me. I'm going to have everybody coughing before it's all over with. He's asking for money. He's flying signs. It's just like what happens today. People flying, that's what it's called, flying signs. We'll work for food. But they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and so they saw him differently. Can I just say this? When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you think different.
Yes, that's true.
You don't think the same thoughts that people who are not filled with the Holy Spirit think. You think differently about people and about situations. You talk differently. You act differently. And you're not weird. You're a delightful difference. Really. Weirdness, you know, just drives people away. But a delightful difference attracts people to you. And they saw this guy differently. He wanted money, but they knew, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They knew what his real need was. He needed to walk. And so they address this guy. They say to get up and walk. What does he do? He gets up. Are you guys reading the same way? It's Acts 4. He gets up and walks. And then what ensues from the religious fat cats in the crowd, everybody that's taken note, they want to know, hey, how'd you do this? How did you do this? Come on, you can give us. Come on, how did you do this? I just want to know. You know, by whose name and all of these other things. They wanted to know how it happened and all that kind of thing. And I love Peter and John's answer. Basically, this is what they said. I'll tell you what happened. Jesus is what happened to this guy. Jesus happened. That's what happened to this guy. So let's don't get all stirred up about just all the specifics. I think Jesus is what happened to this guy. You know, Jesus. Yeah, you know, the one that you rejected. You know, Jesus. The one whom you crucified. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Jesus. That's what happened, and that's who happened. Let me just ask you. How You know, how did you come off of drugs and other kinds of things? And how did you, who never ever went to church but just on Christmas and Easter, how did the change happen for you? How'd that happen? You don't know how it happened, but you know who happened to you. You know that somehow you met Jesus. How does it get you through difficulties? It's Jesus. You know Jesus. That guy that was lame, all I know is he's walking around, right? Jesus. Then came the history lesson in their prayer. When you read on in the prayer, it says, out of the mouth of your father David, your servant said, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples divide? I love what Eugene Peterson, what he puts in the Message Bible. Here's his paraphrase. Oh, why the big noise, nations? Why the mean plots, peoples? Earth's leaders push for position and potentates meet for summit talks. The God deniers and the Messiah defiers. And then I think at that point, this is a borrowing from Psalm chapter 2. And at that point, I think Peter and John must have taken a drink. Just to remind them, God's got this. And here's how God feels about the nations that rage and all the confusion, all the uncertainty that's out there. Psalm chapter 2 and verse 4. He who sits in heavens laughs. Yeah. God's got this. God's got this. What an amazing prayer meeting. And the certainty that obviously gripped them of this conviction that God has got this. Then he goes on to talk about the Herods and the Pilates and all the rest in this amazing prayer. And he says, you know, all of this stuff that's going on in your life, it can only go on because I allow it. That's the only reason that it happens, is that I allow it. But I'm telling you this morning that spirit-filled people know for certain that God is in control. And so as they continued praying, there came to them yet another, what I'd call an unmistakable certainty. And it's the certainty of confidence. And we find that in verses 29 through 31. I just want to read verse 29 at this point. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence. This word confidence comes up a couple other times in Acts 3 and 4. It's an interesting word in Greek. It's a word that literally means to tell. It's a compound word, parousian. And it means to tell it all. To tell it all. So what are they asking for? They're saying, now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence. Man, don't just let them give them a few little bales of hay here. Let them give them the whole rack. Let them tell it all. Let us tell it all. That's what they're saying. You know, one would think, and I thought, how many times in our prayer meetings and stuff we'll say, oh, God, don't let us experience that. Oh, God, don't. We don't want that. Now, look, I get it. I get it. I pray that same way. I don't think it's a bad way to pray. But that's not how they were praying. When they came to the certainty that, and they were so convinced, that this conviction that God was sovereign, that he was in control, and nothing that was going to happen was going to catch him by surprise. Oh, I didn't know that was going to happen. Like that's what God does up in heaven when things happen to us that seem to be just come out of left field. You know, Michael had a He was driving one of his vehicles this past week and got sideswiped. You know what's really weird about this? He got sideswiped by a tow truck. I mean, that's a little strange. But it totaled his car. It totaled his car. Now, I know this guy well enough to know he's trying to figure out, okay, total my car. I'm not going to flip him the bird, or I'm not going to whatever else that some people do. But I'm pretty sure he didn't get out on his knees and you know, say, oh, God, you know, help me to share the love of Jesus with this guy. Pow! Wasn't like that. No, it wasn't like that. But I know this guy well enough. I've been with him enough and with some of the rest of you to know that he's thinking, okay, this is just another situation here. God's got this. He's in control. I don't know how he's going to replace the car. I don't know about any of that stuff. But right now, I know that God's in control. And so I'm going to think differently about this. I'm going to see things differently. I'm going to say things differently. That's what Spirit-filled people do. They have the conviction that God is in control. He's sovereign. What a conviction to have. And that was a great place to start in their prayer life. But as the conviction came, then what surged was a confidence that rose up in him and said, man, I'm not going to just say that I don't ever get questioned by the religious fat cats. That's not what Peter and John said. It wasn't that, oh, don't let bad things not ever happen to us again. No, they prayed, give us boldness so we can tell it all. Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. Don't you think that's awesome? I think that's awesome. Four of you think that's awesome. That's good. But it's awesome. And to think that when you back up and you look at what they were accused of in verse 13 of chapter 4, it says, now as they observed the confidence, there it is again, telling it all, these guys were holding back. Why? Because they were filled with the Spirit. Of Peter and John, and understood that they were uneducated, agrammatoi, it means no grammar. It's a transliterated word in English, okay? It can kind of sound like that. Meaning no. It's a negative there. And grammatoi. That's where we get our word grammar from. And then here, I'll just say the next word. They were also, not only were they called uneducated, but they were also accused of being untrained. Now, I'm going to just say the Greek word for it, and you tell me what it sounds like. Idiotas. Yeah. Yeah. That's where we get our transliterated word idiot from. Bunch of idiots, you know. You're untrained. You're a bunch of idiots. Oh, but here's what they did recognize. They recognized they had been with Jesus. You know, the one that happened in the lame man, in the beggar. Yeah, they had been with Jesus. They were idiots and untrained, agrammatoi, no grammar, hadn't been to school. You know, never been to Preacher Factory or whatever. And but let me just say this. They were in good company, for if you read over in you know, I flipped this. I think it's John 7. Let me just see. Where is John? Is that in the New Testament? Right. There it is. John chapter 7. I think it's verse 15. I was just reading this morning. Yeah, there it is. The Jews then were astonished, saying, how has this man, talking about Jesus, become learned, having never been educated? Never learned his letters. That's what the word means literally in Greek. And but they recognized these guys. They had been with Jesus. So as they prayed with conviction, their confidence surged. No way were they ever going to remain silent again. Years later, this same John, he wrote in Revelation in chapter 12. Ken, would you come on up, please, wherever you are. In chapter 12 and verse 10, this is what the same John that had this experience with Peter here. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power, the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame, verse 11, they overcame the accuser because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, for they did not love their life even when they were faced with death. When you pray in the power of the Holy Spirit like Peter and John did, you too will be recognized as having been with Jesus. God is in control. I want to say it again. God is in control. Do you know this for certain? Do you? He concludes with the second of the summary statements. Let's do the following song again. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. With great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need. Now Joseph, a Levite, a Cyprian, birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means sons of encouragement, and who owned a tract of land, sold it, brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Oh, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Whatever your need is this day, and I know we've already, Michael has wonderfully led us in that, but I just want to reiterate his words. Whatever your needs are, God is in control. Do you know this for certain? If you get nothing else from this day, I pray that you'll leave here and live this week with the full assurance, the certainty that God is in control. He's got this, as Pamela reminds us. You got this, God. I think I'll take just one more drink. Falling on my knees, offering all of me.
Jesus, your all this heart is living for.
Sing that over us, Kent. Would you sing that, Kent?
I'm falling on. Offering all of me, Jesus, your all this heart is living for.
I just want us just to kind of soak now for the next 10, 12, 15 minutes or so. And if there are needs that you have, that you would like for some of us to come along, probably not me, hacking around this morning, but if you want some folks to gather around you just to pray, if you'd like to come up here, that'd be fine, or if you want to stay where you are and just raise your hand, that'd be fine. Your needs may be so private that you don't feel comfortable even sharing them. God knows. God knows. And there are those here that you may know or you may not know who'd just love to take some moments this morning before we leave just to pray for you. Are there any needs at all? We'll just kind of wait here. Ray, absolutely. I'm all about that biscuits and gravy thing, and I think every man ought to be here to eat it. But surely we can pray for this man right back here. Could we get some men just to... Is that okay, Ray? I don't want... And, you know, let's be very careful, especially with Raymond. You know, his skin, sometimes it really hurts and stuff. And so, you know, just be cautious and everything. But you can still pray. Pray for God's kingdom to come and his will to be done and Ray's life. This guy has prayed for many in his life. And his bride, they have been so faithful to pray. Their family, their prayers. They've been on the giving end of praying. How about them being on the receiving end of praying? Oh, come, Holy Spirit, and praise life. Come in his life, Lord. Who else? Back here. John. Would you pray for John? And, Jason, would you pray for him? Matt is needing prayer here. Blood sugar still okay or struggling? Ups and downs. Let's make sure it's down. Could we have some men that would pray for Matt over here? Just some men. Bobby, you've had such a good report. To the one who has received much, much is required. Bobby, you got a great report, so you pray for it. Pray for Matt and Rusty. Dave, you need prayer? Can we have some guys that would just get around Dave over here and pray for Dave? Only men need prayer this morning? Do we have any women that need prayer? That's okay. Women are strong. That's right. Yeah, for Dina back here. Can we have some women? Yeah. And Jan over here needs some prayer. Debbie, would you want to... Can I have you? Sorry, you're just needed in lots of places. And, thank you. Joy and Karen, thank you.
Doug.
Pamela. Hello, Christina. Can we have some ladies get around Christina back here? Yeah, Shamara. That's good. Sandy, absolutely. Yeah, Donna. Anybody else? We'll just kind of linger here for a while. I'm falling on my knees. Offering all of me, Jesus, your all this heart longing for. Would you sing that? I'm falling on my knees. Offering all. Jesus, for all this heart is longing for. Sing the verse, Kim. Hungry? Sing the verse.
Hungry I come to you, for I know you satisfy. Falling on my knees. you're all this heart is living for. Oh, you're all I'm living for.
Heavenly Father, would you seal up everything that has been said that is from you, and the stuff that has come from my flesh, get rid of it now. And we ask God now that this week would be a week of Holy Spirit activity through the people called Centerpoint and through the church in this city. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. I need to get your kiddos.